Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
That we would do well to take heed to. It was to his letter. It was his letter to the Corinthian church, and it was about understanding that Jesus gave us dominion at all times. And I know that we're natural people. We have minds. We have emotions. We have all that. But if you're a Christian, if you're a new man, then you have to understand that you're also anchored a little deeper than that. That the real you, and this is true for any human being, but for you especially, that you're anchored in the kingdom. You're anchored, the real you is your spirit. You are a spirit. You're not a mind. You're not an emotion. You know, folks make this statement that, well, this is just who I am. You don't know what you're saying. Because he knows who you really are, not what you've become because of mindsets you've adopted in this journey called life. But one of the things that Paul said was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's talking about the issue of grasping on to men's, and when I say men's, I mean, you know, just men and women. People's vantage points, people's perspectives, people's, in this text, it was the teachings of, you know, Paul or Peter or, other individuals. He said, so then in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21, he says, so then let no man boast in men, for all things belong to you. Say, all things belong to me. That means this moment right now belongs to you. That means the moment that you heard that Judy is with Jesus, that moment belongs to you. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. Well, what does he mean by death belongs to you? What is that? What's that all about? He's talking about the fact that if everything belongs to you, that means everything is under your feet. Right? That means you have a choice every time things hit your mind and they don't make sense. You have a choice to whether you're going to be affected by that or you're going to take authority over that moment and make that moment belong to you. There's a lot of things that are going to happen in our lifetime that your mind is not going to be able to grasp. How many times have you heard people say, well, I don't understand it. They were praying, they were believing God, they were, and they died. The question is, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to let it burrow its way into your thought process and screw you up for life? Or is Jesus still good? Is he still the healer? Is he still king? Is he still on the throne? Yeah. See, when Paul says all things belong to you, life belongs to you, this very moment belongs to you, death belongs to you, everything belongs to you. The problem is we've never been taught that every moment belongs to you. So when things hit you sideways, you have a choice because all things are under your feet. You have a choice whether or not you're going to allow that thing to burrow its way into your thought processes and your emotions and start raising the why question that'll throw you off the rest of your life. Or whether you're going to take authority over that moment and say, I don't have to know why. The fact is, Jesus is still good. He's still on the throne. He's still a healer. And he's still everything he says he is. See, when you do that, you're taking authority over that moment right there. We can find out the why later on. But we don't need to know the why right now. All we need to know is Jesus is still Lord. He's still on the throne. He's still King. He's still a healer. He's still good. And he never ceases to be all those things ever. That's you taking authority over that moment, because all things belong to you. Life belongs to you. Death belongs to you. It's never allowed to have dominion over you. Your thought processes, your emotions, your reasonings, anything. That makes sense? Don't you wish you could kind of go there, man? I don't know if you ever thought about this. Don't you wish you could go there? Like if there was like, I mean, just to see. You know how they have the GoPros?
Yeah.
Man. I would love to see what's being seen right now. That would be so awesome. Somebody told me, somebody said one time that, the Lord showed them heaven and they were walking and they were stepping on flowers and they didn't realize it and they kind of jumped real quick and the person that was escorting them around said, hey, don't worry about that. There's no death up here. And the flowers just whoosh, came right back up. Wish I had flower beds like that. I got some geraniums that need that kind of thing. They're tight. They look like they've been to hell. They're roasted. But man, what an amazing thing to see. Because he is that good, guys. He is so good. Amen. All right. Well, happy 4th of July. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm not going to run slides. But we have a video. I want you to watch this. And all this is, folks, is how many have ever read the Declaration of Independence? The entire thing. I got to admit to you, it's been a long, long time. If I have, I don't remember. Probably have, but I just don't remember. But I want you to listen to the words. See, 4th of July is geared to, the Declaration of Independence wasn't signed on the 4th of July, but I think it was on the 2nd or so. Maybe it was on the 4th that they actually finalized the wording, all the guys together. Listen to what it says. And then I want to talk to you about some things regarding authentic community that tie into that. Go ahead.
In Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
I wonder how many people know what that says. You know, I don't know. You know, I almost made the statement. You know, I don't mean to get political, but why should I have to say that? Why is this document all of a sudden now it's some political something? It shouldn't be political. If you guys can't hear me, the sound can turn me up. But some things struck me while I was watching that. You know, we're in the middle of a series on authentic community, and did you notice how the writers of the Declaration of Independence talked about the King of England? I'm going to know what the Word of God says, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, mights, dominions. So for everything that you see that's going on in the thought process of humans, understand that it's not coming from them. Can you say amen? Three people said it. Okay. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. It's not coming from them. They're influenced by something else. Jesus made that statement. He said in Matthew chapter 16. You remember the statement when he asked his boys, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're one of the prophets, and he asked Peter, "Who you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus gave Peter knuckles. Just making sure you're awake. Gave him a high five. And said, "Hey, you're blessed because heaven revealed that to you." And then, you know, at this point, you're feeling kind of free with your mouth because you just gave a good answer. And then he said in verse 21, he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes to be killed and raised on the third day. Well, I mean, Peter just got high five from Jesus. So he takes this liberty. And he says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this will never happen to you." And notice what Jesus' response was. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. I've been called a lot of names. But I have never been called Satan." And of course, Jesus wasn't talking to Peter directly. He was talking to the one that was controlling his thought process. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not." And the NASB says, "You are not setting your mind on." Everybody says, "Setting your mind on." On God's interests, but you're setting your mind on man's interests. Now, I like the way the Passion Translation reads in this. It says in verse 23 that Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get out of my way, you Satan. You are an offense to me because your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints." They say man's viewpoints. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that if your thought process is not inspired by the Spirit of God, that you're getting it from someplace else. We ought not forget that. So even when you read things like what reads in the Declaration of Independence, understand, did you notice that all the talk about tyranny and all the talk about dominion and all the talk about oppression and all those things, he sounded an awful lot like somebody else. Are y'all there? You know why? Because it was coming from him. Because Jesus tells us that Satan's thought process, would there be a reason why I'm now in the Grand Canyon? Satan's thought process is what is filling man's viewpoint. Man's viewpoints. We need to understand that. Your problem is not with people in society. Your challenge is with the ones that are controlling what society is thinking. Amen? And when it comes to authentic community, we need to understand this, that if we're going to facilitate authentic community, we also need to come to the understanding that this just isn't the way you are. Amen? You know, a lot of times when you have more than one person in a relationship, that you start having challenges, and, you know, stuff happens and disagreements and, you know, all the emotional things that come along with having relationships with people, peripheral relationships. And a lot of times what you'll find, and you've probably run into folks, you know, if you've known anybody that has left a local church, you've also probably heard all the things that were wrong with that church. And you know, what was wrong with that person or with that pastor, or so-and-so said this to me, or so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so treated me this way. But yet Jesus said your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Jesus said that Satan is, his thoughts are what's filling the viewpoints of men. So, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, as a human being, you know, of course, natural man, you understand, he has no choice. He's only going to think this way. Because he has no other root anywhere else. He's not rooted into the real him that's rooted in heaven. He has to take ownership of the new nature. Jesus said, you've got to be born from above. You've got to be born from above, and when you're born from above, see, now you have the Spirit of God in you, and it gives you a direct connect to heaven. It gives you a direct connect. He said in his letters to the Corinthians, it gives you a direct connect to how Father thinks all the time, even in this very moment right now. So man does not, he's not locked into, well, this is just the way I am. Not even natural man is locked into that, because he can take ownership of the new nature and change that in a second. So if that's not true for him, how much is it not true for those of us who have taken ownership of that new nature and said, Jesus is Lord, and he put his nature in you. Now he's rooted you not just in your emotions and your mind, but he's rooted you in your spirit. And your spirit, the Word of God says you're one spirit with him. Now we have access to, if we take the time, we have access to how Father thinks at any moment. So if we're going to establish and develop authentic community, we should also understand that at no time in our relationships among each other should we ever say, well, that just offends me, and if you get called on it, well, that's just the way I am. That's neither one of those statements is true. Notice this. This is amazing. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And Titus was a pastor. Paul wrote to an individual who was pastoring a church. That's what I'm saying. There's no way you can separate any of these letters that Paul wrote or that were written in the New. You can't separate them away from the local church. They're all in that environment. So they're all dealing with all those relationships that take place in that environment. He says in Titus chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine and dignified, sound in speech which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. It says in verse 9, urge bond slaves to be perfect, to be subject to their own masters. Let's put this in the context of employers and employees. Employees, be subject to your employers and everything. Do to be well pleasing and not argumentative. Everybody say not argumentative. How many know when you're argumentative, you're not he's not the biggest one in the room, right? So that's a violation of authentic community right there. And then verse 10, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. For the grace of God appeared. Everybody say, the grace of God appeared. Now remember, the grace of God is the presence of God and the power of God. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus showed up, did the presence of God and the power of God show up? Yes or no? Yeah. So he says, the grace of God appeared. The power of God, the presence of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Now verse 12 is the interesting verse, because our English translations really don't word it the way it's actually what it actually says. I'm reading at the NASB, and it says in verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That sounds like what he's saying is what most of religion has said we're supposed to do. Religious thought process. How many religious thought processes don't have some sort of moral compass that governs the behavior in that environment that says you're supposed to deny ungodliness? Of course, every religion will define what that is, and worldly desires. You could be a Buddhist and fulfill this. But the interesting thing about this is not what that verse says. So you'll go around your whole life if you read this and you'll say, well, the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, and we're supposed to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So I got to really give it my best effort. This verse doesn't say that. In the original Greek text, which this was written in, you know what this says? Exactly what the Declaration of Independence said. We are absolutely not subject to this. We absolutely can step away from this, make a conscious choice, sever the ties, and never again participate with this oppressive dominion. This verse actually says the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, telling us, instructing us that we can, those three little words, that we can deny ungodliness, worldly desires, to live sensibly and righteously. See, if you're raised in any kind of religious environment, you live your whole life probably with the idea that you just have the sin nature and there's no way really to be free from it. And, you know, you just got to hold on until Jesus comes. The challenge with that is that's not accurate. That would be like those guys before, just never writing the Declaration of Independence, because he did say that in there, that the general tendency of man is to just go ahead and get along to go, and go along to get along, and, you know, just go ahead and suffer, you know, because there's really nothing we can do about it, blah, blah, blah. That's the same mentality that comes into church people, born again believing, born from above, new creation men and women, that Jesus is telling us by the Spirit of God that you need to understand, because of the presence and the power of God, that you can deny all ungodliness. In fact, Paul said it in another way, in another letter to one of the churches. He said, let's put it in this term, that the old man has completely been severed, like the foreskin of a young child who got circumcised. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of get what that looks like. There's zero connection after that, right? So if the Holy Spirit through Paul tells us that the old man, the old nature, has been completely severed in its authority, in its control, in its dominion in your life. Because understand, you know, all those things that they were reading in the Declaration of Independence, all the oppression, all the dominion, all of the cruelty, I'm going to know the old man, that's what it produces. I don't know whether you've realized this or not, but some of the coolest human beings on the planet are little kids. May Best Life Church be filled to the brim with them. But at the same time, when those little kids step over into their old nature, they can be some of the cruelest little things ever walk on the planet. They can, I mean, you know. Because that's what that nature does. Right? So bring that back over into authentic community. Since we know, since Titus says that the grace of God has appeared, notice it didn't go away. The presence of God and the power of God that goes along with His presence appeared and brought salvation to all men, instructing us that we now can completely and utterly deny all ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Our problem is we didn't really realize that verse said that, so we go around and we shift back over into our natural man to try to fulfill what this verse is saying. And you were never designed to live free from that natural man nature. You can't. That's why you needed to take claim and take ownership to that nature upgrade that Jesus provided by being resurrected from the dead. That's why Jesus says it is absolutely imperative that man be born again or born from above. Because the only way you're going to have access to the things that are that Father has access to is if you are one nature with Him. And the only way you can be one nature with Him is if you take ownership of that nature upgrade and you declare in your life that Jesus really is raised from the dead. And the fact is that when you say He's been raised from the dead, it's not just some religious statement. You're literally saying He's been raised from the dead and I'm taking ownership of the results of that. Because the fact that, and your Bible does say this too, the writings of Paul say this, the very fact that He was raised from the dead is Father's testimony to you that you are now flawless in His sight. You might as well say amen. So the Holy Spirit is telling us through this letter to Titus and that local church, that you know you need to understand that you do have a choice. Just like the writers of the Declaration of Independence, they came to the place where you know we have a choice. How many times you can be bullied by somebody so much that they get in your head and they get you to feeling like there's just nothing I can do about this. But that's always a crock. It's always a crock. And so the writers of the Declaration of Independence came to the place where they said, you know what? We can do something about this. Paul is telling Titus, in your local church, you need to tell your folks they're not at the mercy of that old nature. If he was living today, he would say, you need to tell them this is just not the way they are. That they can. They are absolutely empowered to deny all ungodliness and desires that come from that nature. Or as Jesus said it, the viewpoints that are being controlled behind the scenes that are coming from darkness. So the challenge that we have is this. We have to always be aware, where are the thoughts that are going through my head and where are they coming from? Am I thinking like Father right now or am I thinking like a natural man? Take a look at this. Man, there's so much I want to get into in this. I don't have time. You remember how in the book of Acts, we talked about in that environment of authentic community, that it says that all of the folks in the early church, they adhered to Acts 2:42. It says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Sharing communion, coming together regularly for prayer, a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the question was raised in previous weeks, how was it they were mutually linked together? Well, they were mutually linked together because they were all mutually faithfully devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Notice it doesn't say that every believer was faithfully devoted to that which is right in his own eyes. But yet so much of what we see sometimes in local church communities is just that. You got 10, 15, 20, 100, 200, 1,000, 3,000, 7,000, 10,000, whatever it is. And each man in that environment is doing that which is right in his own eyes. That's chaos. So the pastor's right on any given Sunday. The pastor's right depending on whether you agree with whether he agrees with what you think or not. So some weeks, you know, the pastor's good, you know, with these folks over here. But then some weeks he's good with these folks over here, and these folks over here say, no, you're wrong. But these folks think he's great. And then some weeks, nobody agrees with him. And in those weeks, he just gets in his truck and goes and drives up north. No, I'm just kidding. So Acts 2, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachers of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another because they were faithfully devoted to the teachers of the apostles. Now, I mean, the local church had just got started. What was their teachings? Well, if you look at the ministry of Jesus in what he came out when he first started his ministry, The very first thing that he came in his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, he says this. He says he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. Everybody say the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Notice that was the first thing he did. So that's a foundation that is a part of local authentic community. He said, he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, healed every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, and the verse 23 says this, "You who spend your days shrouded in darkness," this is the Passion Translation, "you who spend your days shrouded in darkness can now say," doesn't that sound like the same thing we read over in Titus? You need to understand that you now are free to make the choice to be free from the old nature. So if that's true for natural men, how much more is it true for those of us who have already taken ownership of that nature upgrade, being born from above, what the Bible calls, you know, the new creation man? How much more is that true for us? He says, Jesus said this, "You who spend your days shrouded in darkness can now say you have seen a brilliant light. And those who live in the dark shadow land of death can now say the dawning light arises on us." Verse 17. With that statement, he said this, from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim his message with these words, "Keep turning away from the sins and come back to God, for heaven's reigning kingdom is now accessible." Heaven's reigning kingdom is now accessible. Notice he wasn't trying to get it to rain. It was raining. And notice what it says. It says, come back to God. Understand this, that every human being that has ever been placed on this planet, every one of them has their divine origin in him. They just don't know it. Their identity is in him. All those issues that have to do with human beings when Father says something is not right, or he says it's sin, or he says it's missing the mark, or it's, you know, really it's interesting. I read this one time that the word sin has the, you know, we've said it's an archery term, which it is, and it has to do with hitting a target. But I heard it said this, that the word sin actually has the meaning to miss the glory. To miss the glory. You're off base of the glory. So when Father says something is not right, he's not saying it from a moral standpoint. He's saying it from the fact that what it does to a human being is it causes them to miss the glory. So our interaction with people, this is why you weren't called to live under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You were called to live under the tree of life. Because our vantage point should be Father's vantage point, and it is that things are sin, things are a missing of the mark thing, because they're causing human beings to not recognize their divine identity. And that's the reason why Father doesn't like them. Because every human being has their roots in, their origin in him. Every one of them was made in the image of him. Now notice what he says here. He says in Matthew, he said, you can now say, you no longer have to spend your days shrouded in darkness, and you no longer have to live in the shadow of darkness. That you now can say, the dawning light arises on us. And from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim his message. And it was, keep turning away from your sins, from your missing of the glory. And come back to him. Come back to the glory. Keep making a decision to turn away from missing the glory and come back to the glory. And then he goes on to say, Heaven's reigning kingdom is now accessible. This is why he told Titus, tell the people that they are absolutely empowered, they can deny all ungodliness. They can deny all viewpoints and vantage points whose origin is in Satan. You say, well, you know, I could think of a few of them that are. Well, let's go on beyond that. Because when we're talking about authentic community, there's a lot of stuff that's coming from darkness to cause division that didn't come from Father. And it's an authentic community killer. Notice the very next thing that Jesus talked about, which is interesting. In the book of Matthew, it's been said that Matthew chapter 5, everybody heard of the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, it's interesting that it's been referred to as the church's constitution. Funny that there's a parallel between what we just listened to about throwing off tyranny. How many? There's no other tyranny. There's no other tyrant that's running things or trying to run things than Satan himself. But let's not give him a spotlight because he's an idiot. I said he's an idiot. He really, you know, in Revelation where it depicts him as a dragon. Remember that? You know who made him that? The people. Because that's not him. He's an absolute idiot. He's a coward. Everything that you see that shows up. Have you ever wondered why does human beings act the way they do? Because that's how he acts. He's a coward. He's full of fear. He's a liar. All those things that show up in human beings, it's just because that's who he is. And he's nobody. I'm not saying he doesn't have power, but you have more power than he does. That what he wants you to think is, you don't. What he wants you to think is that he's that big mighty dragon. And that you really have no choice. You're tied to this nature all your whole life. So you better try to do the best you can. Meanwhile, he's going to get you on a gerbil wheel. And you're going to run and run and run and run and run and run. Trip and fall. Get bounced around inside the gerbil wheel. Get back up. Your legs are now in pain. And keep running. And you think that this is the way you live life. When all you got to do is take two steps off to the side. And you're off of it. But he doesn't want you to know that you have that choice. So when we're dealing with authentic community, folks, we absolutely have a choice how we're going to respond to people in our community, how we're going to talk to people in our community. We absolutely have a choice. We absolutely have a choice whether or not we're going to show up and participate in authentic community. We absolutely have a choice. On everything we do inside authentic community, we absolutely have a choice to make the choice to or not to. How many of you ever, you know, when you had kids, I don't think my kids tried this, but you've heard somebody, you know. How many of you ever say, well, the devil made me do it? My son had this dog, and this dog always did things wrong. And he blamed it on Jalen. It was an imaginary dog. It was an imaginary dog, and this dog always did things wrong, and he always blamed it on Jalen. And Jalen was just trying to set the record straight. It wasn't me. It was my dog. So, you know, how many times do we, in authentic community, we like to blame someone else, we'd like to blame, well, it's the pastor's fault, or it's so-and-so's fault, or, you know, I got offended because of, or, you know, just fill in the blank. I mean, all these things, and it's all because we're trying to say we just didn't have choice. He made me do it, yeah. And it's just not so. Because Titus says, the Holy Spirit said to Titus, we can deny ungodliness. So what we need to do as to guard authentic community, what we need to do is we need to make a choice every moment that we're within this environment of authentic community. We need to make a choice to have our own declaration of independence. That I'm not going to be subject to that old man nature to throw me over into a ditch and to let something come out of my mouth that's going to cause hurt or division or something that's going to violate authentic community. In another letter, Paul said this to Timothy, who also was pastoring a local church. In fact, let me just... Paul made a statement to Timothy that said that those who participate in strife are being taken captive at his will. But when you realize what the Spirit of God said to Titus, that we have permission and we have the power to not participate in what that nature would cause us to participate in, then you don't have to get into strife. You don't have to get... Jesus says we take offense. It's not just something that's thrown on us and buries us. Folks, that's important to understand, even in this election year. My gosh, there's so much offense happening out there that it's unbelievable. But understand, at the end of the day, all that offense is being stirred up by the one who wants you to be offended. And he's trying to get you to understand that you have no choice, you have to be offended. When the truth of the matter is you have a choice. Jesus says if you're offended, it's because you took it, it's not because it was forced on you. That's why I say in authentic community, folks, we should never hear out of our mouths, "Well, that offended me." Well, why do you go telling yourself like that for? If you hadn't said anything, nobody would have known that you violated authentic community or that you violated the Spirit of God. Because offense is something we take. It's not something that's forced on us. You know, even in situations, folks, where, you know, somebody will say somebody's activity of the world, "Well, that offended me." That behavior that person in the world that offended me. Still not okay. Could you hear those words coming out of Jesus' mouth? "Well, that offended me." No, because he's not going to violate his own word. He said, "You take offense." How many know a father has seen it all? Right? He's seen it all. He's heard it all. He knows it all. He doesn't get offended. His heart swells with compassion because he knows who they really are in the realms of glory. Amen? So we need to understand in the area of authentic community, we just have to understand that there are certain ways of thinking that are fathers and there are certain ways that are not. And even as righteous as they sound, they're really still, or they're still rooted in the old man, and the Lord of that old man is Satan himself. He's the one that creates those vantage points. They sound so pious, they sound so right, but they're not Father. And they'll kill authentic community every time. So, notice this. For the sake of time, I'm going to jump ahead. Notice what Jesus said in those Beatitudes. He said that the Father is the Comforter. That's important for us to know. He also said... He introduced this principle that you experience what you initiate. I'm going to say I experience what I initiate. Luke chapter 6, verse 21 says this, "How filled you've become when you're consumed with hunger and desire, for you will be completely satisfied. Those of you who are complete and content with yourselves, hunger and emptiness will come to you." He says, how filled you will be if you are consumed with hunger and desire, obviously for the things of the kingdom of God. So what happens? So you initiate direction to fill that hunger and desire, and he's giving you the promise it absolutely will be filled. But you have to initiate it. And for the ones that never initiate it, you have the mindset, "I'm good. I'm good." He's simply saying this because you didn't initiate anything, nothing's coming back. And then in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, he says, "However you wish to be treated by others is how you should treat everyone else. Are you really showing true love by only loving those who love you back?" Well, I can plug that into authentic community. It speaks for itself, right? If we want authentic community, if we want to be affected by authentic community, then you have to be authentic community to somebody else. There's no way around what Jesus said. "However you wish to be treated by others is how you should treat everyone else. Are you really showing true love by only loving those who love you back? Even those who don't know God will do that." So are we really creating authentic community when we'll only have authentic community with the ones that will have authentic community with you? Notice what else he says. Oh, this is pretty amazing. 1 Corinthians 13, Passion Translation. So this is the nature. How many know this is the nature that's in you? Everybody say, "This is the nature that's in me." Watch this. "Love is large, incredibly patient. Love is gentle, consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance." Notice it doesn't say you're not important, it just says you don't inflate your own. Verse 5, "Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense." That keeps showing up everywhere we read. "Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of a shelter. It never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up." So if you never give up, and our goal is authentic community, does it really matter how anybody treats you? Is this your nature? If this is your nature, this is in you. And Paul said by the Holy Spirit that you can deny anything that's not this. You're not at the mercy. That's why I say we all have to, every day of our life, we have to monitor what's going on in our heads, and we have to understand what's coming from the tyrant and what's not. And we have to have our own declaration of independence and understand, no, I'm not going there. You're not going to dominate me. I'm not going to think that way about fill in the blank. How many married folks we got in the house? Watch this. Is it okay that I'm honest with you guys? Would you want me to teach something besides this? Watch this. Well, you know, me and Shelby, you know, she's got some issues. And I just got to live with them because, you know, she just got some issues. And, you know, I if she fed me better, I wouldn't be so skinny. You know, we would go do things more often if she would actually want to get out of the house. And, you know, you could just imagine, none of that stuff's true about her, by the way. I'm just making it all up. But how many have ever heard somebody throw their wife under the bus? "Well, you know, I would be this or that, or I would come and do this, or I would show up, or I would this, that, and the other if it wasn't for..." Let me ask you a question. Could you ever hear those words coming out of Jesus' mouth? What if Jesus, right now, what if he tells his father, he would say, you know, Father, we would be a lot farther along if those yahoos down there would do something. I mean, you know, we've done it all. We give it to them, and they just waste it away. They don't do nothing. They don't talk. They don't even believe we exist. You know, we're always trying to, you know, get our power and our presence to show up there. But, you know, I would do more, Father, if they would just let me, you know. You'd never hear him say that. In fact, your Bible makes it clear that what he does say in Ephesians 6 or chapter 5 is that he washes you with his spoken word. And the result of that is he continually sees you holy and spotless and blameless in his sight. See, here's what I want us to understand as guys, folks. And for all you guys that aren't married, if you get married and you try to pull this, I'm going to slap you. And that is this, that you can't say that you are living in the mind of Christ when you're so willing to expose your wife and leave her hanging out there. Because the love of Jesus will not expose and leave somebody hanging out there. You might as well say amen. Love covers a multitude of sins. So it doesn't matter. You know, what if, you know, how about this one? How about this one? Do you want to know if you're walking in the mind of Christ or not? Then are you willing to take the complete 100% blame for everything in your relationship that's not gone right? I know somebody that was willing to do that. I'm going to know he has the mind of himself. Right? Did he not take blame? Everything took it on himself? So us as guys, if you want to know whether you're willing to, if you're walking in the mind of Christ or not, if things are going wrong in your relationship, are you willing to take 100% blame and it doesn't bother you? Because you're willing to cover your wife and not expose her at any cost. Got real quiet in here. But yet what I just said, that's what the love of Jesus looks like. We can't say that, you know, and this goes both ways too, understand, with anybody really. In any relationship, if we need to expose somebody and make them be the problem, then don't con yourself to think you're walking in the mind of Christ because you're not. Because that mind doesn't think that way. That mind will never think it's okay to expose somebody, air them out, air their life out in front of everybody else, and leave them hanging there, just so it doesn't have to be me. This is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And this is the foundation of authentic community. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 32, he said, you need to be accountable of what's in your own mind. Be accountable of what's in your own heart. Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37, he says, speak unveiled words and cause your words to stand. That's one of those deals, man. In local churches, my goodness. Everybody says what they think everybody wants to hear, and then they have absolutely no intention of following up or following through. Jesus said, if you want authentic community, you need to speak unveiled words and cause your words to stand. Which means if you're going to speak unveiled words, then you need to be able to speak what is really going on in your heart, and that needs to be allowed as long as you're not going to crucify somebody else. Did you hear what I just said? So in authentic community, we need to create an environment where people feel comfortable verbalizing what they're feeling. But the person that's verbalizing what they're feeling needs to understand that you have absolute liberty to do that until you cross the line and you start crucifying somebody else. Then we shut it down. Because both of those are a violation of authentic community. Because of why? Because other people are not your... Did you guys get anything out of this? For the sake of time, I'm going to stop because it seems like these weeks go so fast. But next week, we're going to get into some awesome stuff. Jesus talked about knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and you'll keep on finding. See, all that's a part of authentic community too. Why do churches die on the vine? Because everybody stops expecting anything. We're not going to be that way. We're going to crank up and ramp up the expectation. And we're going to live life with this massive expectation that he's going to do big things in your life. He's spoken things to you. He's promised things to you that you've let him go. Because it's a lot easier to let him go than it is to try to believe for things when the natural circumstances are trying to say, oh, no, 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 no. Then you need to turn around and say, yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. Everybody stand up. Was this okay?
Yeah.
I'm glad three people got something. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we love you. We especially appreciate your vantage point and the fact that you're so clear, so plain. Father, I know that there are folks in this room, I mean, all of us have that little red wagon of mess that we've dragged around our whole life. Things that people, from the time that we were on the planet, people started loading our red wagons. That's probably him. You remind me to do something. They've loaded that little red wagon with everything they thought was supposed to be in that little red wagon. The only problem is that little red wagon got so weighty that we basically, instead of just pushing the wagon over the cliff, we just basically decided to find ways to drag it behind us more efficiently. Some people just put bigger tires on it. But it's still the same mess. And then the little red wagons start bumping into everybody else's little red wagon and cause a big problem. But Holy Spirit, we want to understand and we want to come to the place where we can go to the side of the cliff and just push that little red wagon off the cliff with all the crap that people have loaded in all the years. And say, I don't want to think like that. I don't want to drag this around anymore. I don't need this. And I actually can. And you find out that handcuff that was on the handle of the wagon was actually one that has no key. It just comes right off. So we take that thing off and we just push that wagon over the cliff and walk away. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling our eyes with what you see and telling us you've already given us a declaration of independence that we can. We are absolutely not connected to the influence of the natural man at all, if we don't want to be. So I just thank you, Father, that you bring that reality into our lives more and more. Help us to step up into these things, to create authentic community, a community not just in the building, but just out there living life, where people experience really who you are and how you think and what you want to do and your opinions of them. And then we don't get in the way. So we can stop talking about you and start letting you talk. Because you have something to say. And we just love you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for this nation. We thank you for what you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, that you raise up and you bring down those that just absolutely refuse to let you have their heart. And we thank you that this country doesn't belong to any person. It doesn't belong to any group. It doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to you. But somewhere along the way, you made a covenant that involved this country. So this country now belongs to you. And so we declare that you will have your way in this country, and it will fulfill your plans, your purposes, and it will represent you rightly. And we just thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, have an awesome 4th of July. Don't eat too many hot dogs.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.com. bestlifechurch.org.